my student son, and I do it also in conjunction with you and then Justin, right? So my initial thought was this is more like a database part of it, like trying to rebuild a database or perhaps the schemas or maybe the interface to make it much faster. And last time I wasn't sure completely whether Pankaj has some thought about perhaps just reusing the Amigo interface. That wasn't clear to me at the time, and then I didn't raise it.
I think initially, especially when we wrote it, the idea was is we might use Amigo at the very beginning, but he didn't think it was going to scale very well, and we're still not very sure because, have you looked much at the way the Amigo's set up or what it is? Okay, so Amigo, they built it for the gene ontology. The idea of this project is all of the data that's in the gene ontology is going in, plus all the other data from all the other ontologies that we're going to be looking at, the plant ontology, tree ontology, all that kind of stuff. So we're looking at a much larger data set than they are, and he was concerned about the scalability, but in recent talks with them, it sounds like what they've moved to is much more scalable than what was there before. So we might not have to do as much customization of the data storage as we thought. At least that's kind of my impression of it. I mean, like I said, me being out of town, it's still kind of hard to get a handle on exactly where Punkage is currently. But yeah, we can talk to him some more and find out. And yeah, I was surprised too because I thought that last call with the Amigo folks was going to be about the storage, and then turned into Pankaj talking about the visualization mostly.
I'm happy with that part too. I mean, because the I'd be happy to work on visualization. Oh, I guess the other Justin's here, right?
Hey there.
Hey, Justin.
Sorry about that, guys. I was running an OS update the other day and it removed my Zoom plugin, so I had to go through that process again. I'll
Me. Yeah. Well. So Justin and I were just talking about I had a question for both of you, but I asked Justin first.
Yeah, sure.
The question was, is the focus of the project starting to go towards more on visualization than the data storage?
What'd you say, Justin?
I said, well, we kind of talked about how that last call ended up talking about visual, but I was also saying that I think Amigo has turned into the new Solr backend might be a lot more scalable than the MySQL stuff, and so we might not be as big of a hurry to do a custom data and
Yeah. Okay.
that said, we haven't actually tested it with our data.
True. True. Yeah. So
That's what I'm working on.
the proposal was vague as large proposals sometimes be, Eugene. When they came back and gave us 3 years with the possible fourth, and we started looking at scaling down, Pankaj had to start maybe re-envisioning a little bit what he had in mind. I can't quite speak for his new priorities yet because they're still crystallizing. I mean, I've looked at the revised. I've got a Gantt chart that sort of articulates the items. I'm looking over here because it's on my wall at the moment.
I was going to say, do you have an updated Gantt chart with the 3 year timeline?
I have an updated Gantt chart with the 4 year timeline. It is in the Dropbox folder, CROP responses and revisions.
Oh, okay. I didn't look that close. I thought that was still a 5 year one.
So he put in there a 4 year timeline, and frankly, we should be sharing this across all the principals in the project. I'll talk to Pankaj about that. But Eugene, to get to your question, I honestly think there's a pretty healthy balance of both. Even if we don't end up building a brand new data warehouse, although Pankaj still says that's what he wants to do after living on Amigo for a while, there are visualization components in the project that are still very much part of the plan. I think it has a lot more to do with, like Justin alluded to, the order of priorities and what we tackle first. I think they're all there. It's just a question of what do we start with. Since we have Amigo, now, and our stated plan is to make that work first. It seems like off the cuff, we should probably focus on new visualization interfaces against that data structure and just try to couple it as loosely as possible. So if we switch data warehouses, then we don't have to retool that software too much in order to take advantage of the different data warehouse platform down the road. But I mean, that is so much at a nebulous high level. That's not super helpful. But then I guess the return question is like, what are the visualization tools that we're supposed to be working on?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. So it seems like a chicken and egg kind of problem where try to, is it fair to say that it seems like we could go in this two-leg fashion. We could maybe start with the assumption that one of them is known and then try to work on the other for a little bit. Specifically, for instance, we can assume we have some kind of data. We already have some data warehouse with some data structures, and then we can start building the interface. And then keep in mind, like what you said, to make the implementation separate from the data structure, mm-hmm. so that in the future we might be moving forward towards a different data scheme. And then as we're building the interface, we're also coming back at some point to say, okay, now we may want to upgrade our data warehouse capability.
But I was just going to make that point that it might be nice as we're working through the visualization and the other things that we're looking for to get out of it, that will kind of drive, hey, can we modify the current data structure? Or do we need, is this something that we are going to have to do to customize it for what we need?
Okay.
I know for one of the things that's been bothering Planet Ontology for a long time with the sort of visualization thing is the ontology is generally a directed parent-child thing.
Okay.
And we sometimes have relationships in the ontology that go the other way, and it doesn't properly display those in Amigo.
My understanding is
it still doesn't, and so that's something that I don't know if that's a visualization problem or if that's a data storage problem.
So let me try to rephrase what you said. So it seems like currently is a top-down visualization, or navigation is more like top-down.
I think that's what they mean when they talk about the directed acyclic graph, is the direction is kind of sort of going in one direction.
Okay, so but you like to be able to also, if you go from bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so like we have certain relationship types in the ontology that are, I can't remember exactly which ones they are, but there are ones that...
Mm-hmm.
We have associated terms to an ontology term.
Okay.
We want that association to flow the other direction, depending on the relationship, than it normally does in the way the Amigo is set up.
I see.
It takes us all for, me trying to explain it as a non-biologist and trying to, listen to what they've said, but I know that this has been an issue, and I don't... I'll see if I can get a concrete example from Lola Ponkich to kind of show you what the problem is.
Right, and the line item that something like that falls under on the Gantt chart is ontology editor, parentheses, Amigo, customization. That as we're working with the existing tools, I know there are long-standing issues that Ponkich has had,
okay,
and the other folks by extension, that he would like to see fixed. A project can go sideways really fast if we focus on fixing a bunch of stuff, if we end up jettisoning that interface anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do we want to spend? I mean, that's actually a perfect, very specific example of a visualization enhancement or fix that is needed on the current platform. But
my point was that wasn't like the only thing. That was just an example of, I don't know whether that's the data or what that's the visualization. Sorry.
Right. No.
Too much focus on it.
So I was just reviewing the lines on on this chart here. Let me share my screen. We're playing with Zoom, right? So I'm gonna I'm gonna play with screen sharing too. We'll see how this goes and just share the one application. So can you guys see my Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me enlarge it.
I can actually read it fine, the size of it.
Okay, well, I don't know. That's a little bit better, maybe.
Okay.
So here is, I mean, there are a lot of different things going on in the project, but here is our area, software and database development, more or less. And it breaks down into a few large parts. There's the ontology editor customization for the current Amigo. Then there's building a new browser to replace Amigo. Mm-hmm. And the associated searching interface, releasing that late in the project. So there's that part. That's ontology browser and associated searching, and possibly visualization tools, but we have to check with Pankaj if new analysis tools. We have to check if he has lopped those off mm-hmm. because of the loss of a year of funding, maybe 2 years of funding.
I think those were near the end anyway.
I soapboxing a little bit. It's like that's actually the research area of the project.
Yeah,
we could break the most new ground. A new data store would break a lot of new ground too. But it's like if we can't show functional usage of these ontologies associated with actual research data, then what the heck are we doing? But that's another conversation. So anyway, the first big chunk, ontology browser and searching, maybe analysis tools as well. Then the data store is the second large chunk. And then other things that, Eugene, you're not so much directly involved with, the image annotation project,
mm-hmm.
all separate effort with Sinequa. And then sort of an all-hands situation is this, how do we put all this on iPlant? And so then there's the communication portal, also a totally separate thing, and our API, which is very much in the mix because it may drive a lot of our software. So, you know, your name, Eugene, is by the API stuff, moving to iPlant, the data store, mm-hmm. and the ontology browser.
Right. By the way, who's Mungo?
That's Chris Mungo. He was the one we were talking with from the Amigo.
Oh, is he at the California, the Berkeley person?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was actually two of them, Chris Mungo and Seth Carbon, were the guys that we were talking to.
Okay. Was he part of the proposal? I didn't realize this.
Yeah, he's a co-PI.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
So, you know, looking at if I play the Gantt chart game, and I'm not trying to be too project manager wonky here, but if you look at the Gantt chart, then theoretically the data store works is supposed to start early, as is the iPlant integration. I don't know how realistic that is, and yeah. that the API starts a little later. The new ontology browser also starts a little bit later because we're supposed to just work with the Amigo one up front first.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, the ball's in your court, but I would suggest that focusing on just getting the version of Amigo up and running,
with
the available data, and then worrying about customization at that point, because it may be far enough along that we make a decision then, okay, we're not going to continue to live on Amigo. Then we don't have to worry too much about
it. That's pretty much what I was doing, is I was going to get it up at least with Go data, hopefully in the next week or two, and then start working on seeing how much work it is to get the other ontologies in, and then start working on, you know, even just the cosmetic stuff, just to change the colors.
Yeah, okay.
Make it our own. But yeah, that's definitely where I'm going, starting with me.
So then the other two hot boxes on the project here, the CROP data store and iPlant integration, you know, those are actually useful places to start, possibly, Eugene. I don't know what you think. But in that, we can make a list of all the different types of data that's not just annotation files that Amigo can consume.
Mm-hmm.
and analyze their structure, format, and capacities required.
Yeah.
And also their what kind of traffic and analysis load is associated with those types of data.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys can start talking about what that warehouse should look like, and at the same time start thinking about how that fits in iPlant's space, because they have their iRods access to deep hardware storage, and then they also have virtual machine storage as well. Mm-hmm. And then some also dedicated hosting for large projects like ours that Pankaj has negotiated for. So maybe just like an early project analysis of the data and the types and how we can store it and use it, and then how iPlant might hold it would be a good place to start while we're working on just getting Amigo 2 up and running.
Yeah. What do you guys think? So who would be the point person on getting these information? Would be one of you guys or?
Yeah, I think that would probably be me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, yeah, I mean, Priest and I work pretty closely together, and he is still on campus, so I would try both of us, but I think technically it's supposed to be me.
I'm happy to give input. I'm working a lot on the image annotation project with Sadisa and his grad students, and yeah. I'm technically supposed to be about 95% on a totally different grant. So I have to be careful about how deeply I get pulled in. But, I mean, I'm happy to always sit on a call and spout opinions. I'm good at that, right, Justin?
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, Justin Elson's like on the grant. And so probably you guys will be working closely together. He's also Mr. Amigo locally.
Okay.
Yeah, I do all the Amigo stuff with the group. I was going to ask, though, because I don't have a lot of experience with it, Eugene, what's your experience / opinion of solar? Have you used it much before? Do you think it's a good idea? Or?
I have not used a solar, so I actually have the... So I this is where maybe I need to talk to you a little bit more about the setup. Just to get... I guess right now I'm in a state of sort of gathering information, trying to see where things fit. And I'm also still trying to put together a picture in my head, like what the project really are all about. I mean, it's I see the list and I see a lot of information. I know, and you know, I've gone through our proposals a couple of times.
Right.
I'm just trying to piece together something, because once we get the students to work on this, we want to have a pretty clear plan as to what the main focuses are. So my impression last time, there was a second meeting, or maybe there was a meeting that was like this regular meeting, and a couple of people from UK sat in. I don't remember if you guys were on that meeting. Also,
yeah, I believe I was.
Okay, you probably were. Anyway, so when we talked, I feel like Pankaj's focus seemed to be more on like the interface and the visualization.
Well, I think Pankaj. In general, that's where he's focused, because that's what he sees, and it's easy for him to have a lot of input on.
Right.
I know when we did the proposal, he had all these ideas for the data storage and the back end stuff, but in some ways, it's not in his wheelhouse. So in some ways, it's just kind of, he's heard these words, and he's like, hey, we should do that, without any thought of how difficult or practical implementation of those ideas are.
Right. So I think one thing that would be good, I mean, maybe so I see two areas where we might be able to connect. One of them is to analyze the current interface more like from the functionality, user functionality point of view, to see how, I mean, I see two purposes for this. One, we can see where we might be able to improve the interface or add functionalities.
And those are real concrete examples rather than just abstract, we need to improve this area.
Yeah. And the second purpose would be that would help us to go to the next layer, which is essentially to the data schema design and eventually down to the hardware setup. I think that kind of process would help us to start with the user requirements, to see what was what the current capabilities are. I mean, I don't know if we have some documents or maybe some. I mean, I could maybe talk to you, and oh, okay.
Keep talking.
Okay. Right. So that's the.
I think I understand what you're saying. I think I agree.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I see the diagram.
I think this is actually something that at some point we need to basically sit down with Pocket. Here's kind of what I'm thinking we need to do. I need to get the Amigo instance up and running on our hardware.
Okay.
And then so that way I kind of have a rough idea of how it's all put together. Because right now, I mean, we've been using Amigo for years, but we're using a really old version of Amigo that is nowhere near how this new one is set up. So here's what I'm thinking. I want to get it up and running in the next week or two, and then maybe we can have another call with Ponkage and go, okay, here's the functionality in the new Amigo. What do you want to see? What do you like? That kind of stuff. And I think that might help us figure out direction.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah, that's fine. I was wondering if there are similar ontology setups like for animals.
For what?
For animals.
Like, I don't understand that word.
Ontologies for animal.
Animal?
Animals.
Sorry.
Yes.
That was my fault. I thought you were saying NMOs, like it was some abbreviation that I didn't know.
I know it was a big jump from the plants to animals, so yeah.
the gene ontology that Amigo is based on, it will is set up in a way that it should work for both plants and animals.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just plant ontology then extends off the top of that, and instead of looking at the molecular and cellular level for terms, we're looking bigger terms. So plant ontology, at least the one I have more experience with, it has terms like seeds and other things that are definitely plant specific. But at some level, it basically hands off the terms to, as you get smaller and smaller, to the gene ontology where it actually has things like cytoplasm and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it is set up in a way that where they all are sort of connected. We are definitely focused on plants, but the stuff should more or less work the same for animals, but the terms, of course, are different.
Right. Because I'm more familiar with animals than plants, unfortunately.
Well, here's the thing. None of us that are on this call are biologists.
Okay. I was wondering, because just trying to get together, I see we have ontologies for the plants, mm-hmm. that there are multiple different ontologies. So what I'm trying to see in my head is this just in a way a search engine that can search the data sets multiple different ways, or is this more or less the picture?
Yeah, and one of the main focuses of this project is to take the different plant ontologies, plant ontology, trait ontology, the ones that were focused on different parts of the plant, but different parts of the plant biosphere or whatever, and combine them in a way where the terms could connect across the different ontologies.
Okay, and the purpose of that would be to...
So if, say, someone, like, we have these annotations in the ontology, like, a specific gene identifier that is, okay, this gene is related to seed development from plant ontology. Well, then, could we then associate that same gene to trait ontology terms that are also kind of about seed development?
Oh, I see.
And right now, there's no direct way to link them. You have to basically look at plant ontology, get your gene IDs, and then search for those separately and trade on top. I don't think there is a way currently where they are. It's an easy just kind of click, you know, click here and look for it in different colors.
Not ways in which biology researchers would like to use it, that's for sure. It requires a pretty heavy lift and familiarity with being able to collate data on one's own. That's actually a perfect example that Justin just gave. The exciting part of this project is being able to do that kind of ontology network analysis,
mm-hmm.
which is in this box here. That network analysis phrase can be taken in one of two ways. One way is the example that Justin just gave, has to do with finding the intersections amongst what Chris Mongel likes to call orthogonal ontologies,
mm-hmm.
Different ontologies that do have common points of intersection in order to create relationships between disparate sets of data where it was previously difficult to see a relationship.
Okay.
And we have constituent users who are very involved in the phenotyping end of the plant biology business, where they want to look for traits associated with plant behavior that may be useful to agriculture. And so one of the large integration points that Pankaj is focused on, and I would say Lal too, mm-hmm. is the intersection of the trait ontology specifically with the plant ontology, and then finding commonalities between the two when they're looking up and down the ontology networks for different genes or gene sets, so that they can associate, oh, this gene in this tissue type on a plant ontology also shows up for this particular trait in its species. Mm-hmm. And then if you hook that to a third ontology, like the environmental ontology, then you can get also under these conditions. So you can begin to pull together a picture of, oh, this plant exhibits this positive or negative behavior under these conditions in this part of the plant, and possibly also at this developmental stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've just verbally linked together four different ontologies,
yeah,
or three different ontologies, and then if we have enough of the right kind of annotated data from the constituent users of these ontologies, then we can create visualization tools that show them that the network analysis results that links those things together.
Mm-hmm.
So that pulls together network analysis with visualization tools, and also with a search feature, you know, depending on how they're browsing, maybe not just browsing the ontologies proper, but what most of these people want to do is put in traits, put in their species of interest, put in plant parts,
mm-hmm.
Put in gene identifiers, and then see what gets spat out at them. And what gets spat out at them is heretofore undiscovered relationships between those disparate sets of data.
Okay. As I'm listening to the examples, I'm trying to map this to something I'm more familiar with. So
sure.
Of course.
So if we're talking about humans, for instance, talking about people, right? So different ontologies could be, for instance, the genome, the DNA of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
There's the blood type. Could be, for instance, their talents or their level of success, their fields of expertise, and their longevity. You know, things like that. So there are different kinds of things, or their body type, or they tend to be tall, short. You know, like. So I'm guessing.
Yeah, those would actually be like, that would actually be trait ontology things.
Yes.
That would be trait ontology, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, although probably not. I think our trait ontology is plant specific, but I mean, those are basically traits that would go in an ontology.
Right.
Hey, Justin, do you have the Amiga 1.8 browser up in a place where you could show him a few examples of plant ontology terms in the graph and then trait ontology terms?
Yeah, I still can't remember where I am.
While he's looking for that, Eugene, you know, I highlighted in red on the system diagram, if you still see my desktop, the various areas of our project that touch the line items that sort of our group is responsible for, or as far as this conversation goes.
Okay.
So, you know, down here in ontologies and annotations, we're talking about the data warehouse.
Yeah.
And that some of that will be in deep iPlant storage and some of it may be in intermediary iPlant space, but it'll be there. And then there's this API backbone that allows for a communication and access to that data. The annotation quality assessment matrix and the network analysis I was talking about may be like middle layer cached proxies for some of our data, pre-computed results.
Mm-hmm.
He cut out the OLAP portion, which is also pre-computation.
Okay.
And then the visualization tools in the ontology, the Amigo browser or its replacement in the advanced search out all live out on the portal. But you can see the connection here between data warehouse, pre-computation, provisioning via the API, and then looking at that with a combination of just straight up browsing, searching, and then also, I hope, visualization tools within the context of what Pankaj wants. Like the kind of example you just described where people want to be able to connect together disparate pieces of data, they need an application to do that. And a combination of visualization tools and looking at things like this matrix or pre-computed a network analysis through an advanced search feature will allow them to get at that data in a way that a biologist could survive the experience, basically. And they would understand it.
Right. Right.
Via the chat, I sent you guys a link to the dev, the old dev CROP page that does have three different ones.
I'm done.
Okay. Now this is Amigo 1.8, so it's still basically running the older back end, but this is mostly done as kind of a proof of concept of what, you know, we could load different ontologies, but this doesn't have any annotations for it, so it's not a full representation of what we wanted. But the idea was we could look in here under again, which is a little outside of my normal I think the idea was we could look so like we can look for seed and it matches a PO term. And then the seed size is a TO term. So right now, they're kind of just all slammed together in the database. There's not really still a direct connection between seed size and seed. Maybe if there were gene products or annotations here, there would be a gene that was associated to both. But there's still, that's still sort of a secondary connection. So I think what he's looking for is a way to kind of see how these things, all of these are connected rather than just a simple search.
Right.
But again, this is something that we need to get really specific feedback from Pankaj and maybe other biologists to see kind of what they're looking for. But this is my understanding of the kind of stuff that I'm looking for, a way to connect these things across different ontologies.
Yeah, sorry guys. One quick question here. What's Laurel's role here?
So Laurel is the coordinator for the entire project.
Oh, okay.
So she manages all the meetings and the conference calls and that kind of stuff. She's also very focused on the actual ontology development. So she's the one that works on, you know, when you look at this term. She's the one that develops these definitions in the comments and the relationships between ontology terms. So like I said, there needs to be a relationship between seed and seed size. We might have to come up with a new relationship type. She would be the one that would, or someone that's working with her, to actually define that relationship and define the terms.
Okay.
Okay. She doesn't have a lot of background in programming and that kind of stuff, so that's why most of that stuff's kind of going through me, but I still... She wants to be kept up to date and all what's going on.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, you know, like if we do computer animation, one thing, so people like, you know, many of our students want to do computer animation. So one way that they can learn animation is to do a summer internship at one of the production houses like Disney or, you know, like, or Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
And there they get to play, you know, the program. So there are basically two types of directors. There's the art director, who's really the artist,
mm-hmm.
who use all sorts of off-the-shelf packages to do the art. And
right.
there are the technical directors who are responsible for using program to realize some of the visions that art directors have but cannot actually do themselves because they require too much programming. So basically, the each movie required these two types of people sitting together, plus the director, and sometimes for our students, it would be good to go there and actually just watch them how the art director do this and that, to get a sense how they use the thing, so that they can build a tool to help facilitate that process. So what I'm thinking here is that it might be nice for me to go talk to you, I guess. I was thinking about the Justin in Corvallis also, but somehow the Corvallis Justin is not. I guess you're not really on this grant, right? I mean, not whole.
I don't know what the official financing is, but I know that in terms of my time spent, that Pankaj the other day said try to spend about 5% of your time on it.
Right. So
which is ridiculous. Anyway, I'm already up around 20.
So you can start working for the rest 4 years.
That's right. No, I mean, this grant lives slightly longer than my current one. So, you know, I may very well flip over to it full time in 2 years from now. I don't know.
Okay.
Realistically, things are fluid around here. And I'm not like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld when it comes to time allocation. So I'm happy to help however I can. I just, number one, I work for Justin Elser in this context.
Okay.
And Lal and Pankaj. And number two, yes, the majority of my time is spent on another project. But that doesn't mean I'm always available, really. It's fine. If you want to get together and talk, I just don't want to overstep my bounds or send things in the wrong direction from what Justin or Lal or Pankaj want.
Well, I was going to say, in the next month or so, I was planning on coming back to Corvallis just to kind of touch base and be physically there. Maybe what we could do while I'm there is sit down with Pankaj and Lal with the new Amigo and kind of go through what it does, and we can get some real examples of what they're looking for, and we can also meet face-to-face and meet your students who's going to be working on this and give everyone access to where I'm going to have the code live as well.
Yeah, I think that would be really good. The problem with me, as you both see, that is that I'm not a biologist, so I'm a little bit nervous about.
None of us in this call are biologists. I'm a physicist. Justin is a programmer and musician. So.
Yeah.
Right. I remember you guys. And what about you? You're a programmer and. Yeah, well, so the Justin Corvallis is a musician also, right? I mean,
yeah, that's my degrees are all in music.
Right, I'm totally talking about this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea. We can get together when you're down here, Justin. The question is how can we make the best use of our time until then?
Well, I know personally, like I said, I need to get the Amigo instance up and running so that we have something to actually look at.
Yeah.
Play with.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Eugene could be doing in that interim is,
I don't know. I can. The only thing I can really think of easily is give access to the solar store. So you can kind of poke around and look at how that's set up.
Okay.
But that sort of presupposes that I have data in the solar storm, which I don't yet. I have the solar program up and running, but I haven't actually loaded any data in.
Okay. I was also thinking about, so Justin, when are you coming back to Corvallis? Do you have some specific time, you think?
Or would it be I was planning on sometime in March. Like next month, about a month from now.
Okay.
I need to work it out with my wife and kids' school schedule and see and make sure that I can come down time that makes sense for them. But I should be down next month.
Sure, sure. I know we have another next monthly meeting next in 2 weeks, right?
All hands meeting, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm sure Pankaj would kind of want to know what we're doing, what we've been doing, right? I'm trying to see. Or we could, I'm thinking we could also just have another, these kind of online meetings where maybe I could ask Laura to be also part of it.
Yeah.
We can just walk together the process, maybe like the screen sharing, so she could show us some of the, so this is the part that I think will be the anchor point for me to, for the entry point for us, is to kind of see what the current state of the user interface is and what the user's needs are, so that we might be able to figure out how to do this, provide a better visual support as well as a database support. And we can probably start maybe, I'm thinking maybe even early next week, because we'll do this, the Zoom meeting. So technically, I don't even have to leave my office.
Yes, that's correct.
Which is nice. It's not like I don't want to see you guys, but...
You could be at Pixar Studios if you want. That's all right. So I'm going to... Can I steal the screen or also share mine?
Here.
All right. Let me... I think that's a good suggestion, Eugene, and I would reiterate on top of that, I think this is a good time, especially while we're all trying to wrap our heads around the various facets of the project.
Okay.
I think this might be a good time to just start cataloging the data types and formats and do that, and also start looking at the various storage mechanisms and environments that iPlant provides, and just have together a list of that stuff, because you'll feel so much more knowledgeable, and all of us it'll help us too, frankly, because I don't know beyond the association data and the ontologies themselves what else is coming in data wise. I know I have a vague sense that there is other data, but that's actually what I was going to show you real quickly. I pulled down the full revised proposal that went to NSF, and this is a diagram that is along the lines of when I was going on too long about network analysis and the intersections of networks. This is a diagram we put in the proposal that Pankaj put together that shows the relationship between the different types of data and why biologists want to use it. So walking through this, you have a network representation of different types of data and their intersection, and their intersections are provided via their ontological intersections.
Mm-hmm.
So you have data that comes from these different areas, gene expression, how active a gene is at any point, the genotype, like what specific assay the data was taken from.
Mm-hmm.
Phenotypes we talked about, you know, visible traits. Germplasm, this has to do with seed stock and where the seed source came from if it's an agriculturally focused plant.
Mm-hmm.
Function and domains comes heavily from the gene ontology, because they can describe biological process and molecular function.
Mm-hmm.
And then homologs, so if we're looking, this is an important one because a lot of research happens in one plant and then they try to extend those results into other plants to improve their understanding.
So it's also something that our lab in particular does actually a lot of work in.
Yes, that's a good point. So like they will research something in Arabidopsis or rice where we have really well annotated genomes, and they'll discover a particular gene affects a certain trait. Then they will go via sequence homology data, the similarity of the genomic sequence from one plant to another, and they will try to make inferences. Hey, might this also be true in crop C? It was true in crop A and crop B, and they share this gene or a similar gene. Would it also be true there? And it gives them targets to then try to confirm or deny that experimentally.
So, what autology is A? Is that the plant PO?
A is showing, I think it's trying to show the intersection of multiple ontology graphs.
Oh, okay.
I think in that case, I think the A, subsection A, see how there's A, B, C, D, the right. A is coming from the plant stress ontology.
Plant stress, okay.
Okay.
That's where I think the word says the plant disease, PSO, rice bacterial leaf blight. I think that.
Oh, okay. So that was a real diagram. I thought that was just a pretty picture.
I think that's an actual.
That was actually generated. Okay.
Yeah, but I think Plunkett did that by hand. I don't think there wasn't anything that could generate that on that.
But wouldn't visualization like that be incredibly cool? So this is an example of the kinds of things we could do with you take an ontology graph, you take multiple ontology graphs, and you represent their intersections in two or three dimensions. And at those intersection points, what causes the intersections is theoretically your experimental data that's provided. So you see these highlighted areas where various ontologies intersect. Those are represented by the common annotations and or phylogenetic relationships between species that pulls this different information together. So anyway, just looking at the rest of this diagram, part B is just showing different types of traits that people are interested in related to these crops. C, this kind of is where the rubber hits the road. Actual different ontology, their subparts, like the plant ontologies, plant structures, plant growth stages, environmental stuff related to biotic or abiotic agents, the different species, which gets into phylogeny and species relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows how all of these things represent an intersection of descriptions of how the biology works and how we could use that to looking at area D here, make an assertion that this particular disease, rice bacterial leaf blight, happens in rice. It's caused by this particular fungus that lives on rice.
Okay.
And it infects rice at this stage of growth, and we know that because you can see these lesions.
Mm-hmm.
So what D represents is a computational description of the intersection of those various ontology terms.
Right.
And then these are all bound together by an annotation or annotations that somebody has provided from experimental research in the field. Mm-hmm. So that then somebody else, if they come in from the outside and said, I'm working in corn, but we're having a leaf blight issue in corn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there are other species where they know something about leaf blight that might help me experiment with what gene to knock out to eliminate that disease from hitting my corn. So they might research leaf blight and find this rice example and say, oh, there's a related fungus to this fungus that I know affects corn.
Mm-hmm.
And our database could show them the rice genes that are shown to be associated with susceptibility to this disease. And then what we'd like them to be able to do is walk from phylogeny, from that rice gene to the corn gene that's related, evolutionarily related, and then they'll say, oh, that might be my target. I'm going to go run experiments on this corn gene and see if I can prevent this kind of blight in my corn plant based on what other people have done in rice.
Right.
So that gives you kind of a broader picture of the kind of analysis we're hoping people will be able to do once we marry together ontologies, multiple ontologies with multiple annotation data sets.
Interesting.
In the proposal document, which I think, do you have access to this Dropbox folder?
I do. I've switched a computer, and I think I haven't set up the Dropbox on the new one. That's probably why. But I can. I suppose they're somewhere online, right?
Yeah. They're available in folder. I'll make sure that Lal has shared the Dropbox folder with you. And yeah, it'll be available by a browser.
Okay.
If you want to check.
I can look at the, I can see if I, once I put the Dropbox back in, I can see whether, I think I should be able to get back in because I have the same account. So.
Yeah, okay, cool. So if you review the meat of the proposal, there are several things in there that have to do with analysis, not just the example I showed you, but that will give you a sense of exactly what Pankaj and Laurel were hoping to get at with this project. It summarizes the relationships amongst the ontologies.
Mm-hmm.
It has the example that I just showed you. It also shows more information about the ontologies we're wanting to host.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of other diagrams that may no longer be that useful. Well, this is good. It talks about the phylogeny, the relatedness between different plant species, evolutionarily,
mm-hmm.
evolutionary relatedness. So this would be good to just reread, I think. And then this got cut, this OLAP cube.
Okay.
That we're not doing that. But
oh, that's the data organization part of it, right?
This is related to on the system diagram. This is related to this this middle layer of pre-computed cached proxy data.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to have a reduced pre-computed analysis of different slices or views of the data that just make it faster to retrieve over the API to the website.
Right.
And we can still do a lot of that. We just may not use OLAP specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think kind of the idea was that, like, if you wanted just stuff on a specific species, but across ontology, then that would be one kind of slice of the cube. And then, but if you wanted, I want all species, but just one ontology, then that would be a different cube space.
And
I think that was the idea. I think the basic idea would still kind of exist, but
yeah, and we may not use hardcore OLAP, but the in computer science terms, it's just an indexed multidimensional array that we cache and may represent slightly thinner proxied forms of the deep data, so that we can get at it quickly. And the when it's assembled as a multidimensional array, it makes searching it a little bit easier via search interface. But without using OLAP, we still need to be able to, in order to meet the aims of the project, handle the intersection of multiple ontologies and multiple data sets and give access to them via search tools. And then it would be nice if we could give visualization to the users in a way that makes sense to them to show those connections.
That's right. That's right. I can see that. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that refamiliarizes you a little bit with kind of where we're going with the proposal.
Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, thank you guys for the time. And this is great.
Oh, no problem. We should probably actually do this, semi-regularly. I don't know how often. Let me see where I get with the Amigo stuff, and I will send you the info, and I'll probably go ahead and create logins and stuff for you guys to be able to access it on the server side. We're hosting it on a machine in the CGRB for now.
Okay, that's great. Once we hear that, maybe we'll try to schedule a meeting next week with the three of us plus Laura, and just kind of see whether maybe perhaps we can go through some.
Yeah, I wrote that down that I need to work on that. So yeah, we'll work on getting that scheduled too.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
I'll throw out one more thing. I know Laurel has been agitating to also work on the actual Drupal site itself, Justin. There's not a good line item for representing the overall web portal. The tools we're talking about, Eugene, and the browser, the ontology browser, are going to be hosted within a website. And we're hoping to embed much of it just in a Drupal site,
mm-hmm.
as much of it as possible. And so Lal's asking, hey, who starts working on the website and when? And by website, she means what she can see now at crop.cgrb. So, Justin, I'm just throwing that out there. If you bring her to a meeting, she's going to ask. So you can be
prepared. Well, I have a meeting with her in a couple hours. So
all right. I'll talk to her about it, but maybe you guys can talk about that then. Hey, who's going to make the portal look pretty?
All right. I won't be on that meeting.
The thing is, that is like totally up my alley. I love working on that stuff. I'm just not supposed to work on it too much with this project.
Well, what's your other proposal?
I work on the Grameen grant, and right now I'm involved heavily with the Plant Reactome Project, which is a web application that visualizes metabolic and signaling pathways in organisms, and involves, we've got curation here that gets fed into a database, and then there are analysis tools where people can do gene expression overlays on the pathways, and also do interspecies comparisons, more orthology relatedness between species. But it's heavily graphical and lives in a website. I can show it to you sometime.
That'd be cool. One last question for you guys. Yeah. So I was curious, do we have some ontology that describes what, I mean, I guess it's a function, it's part of a function ontology, but I was more thinking about, like, what are the plants good for or bad for certain animals? Like if this is my, if you know, we consume certain, you know, the crops, right? Mm-hmm. But a certain crop might not be appropriate for us, for humans, but might be good for others, for other animals, which in turn are good for us, right?
Right. I would think that if anybody were able to answer that question, Chris Mungel would probably know, because his ontology work spans plants and animals. Their chances are good somebody's working on an ontology somewhere related to feed stores for animals.
Yeah.
But I don't know of anything offhand. But I
I don't either.
Okay. I just out of curiosity.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Chris may very well know of one.
Okay. I was just thinking that, you know, interestingly, I think this kind of interaction ontology would be neat. Like, you know, certain animals tend to destroy certain kind of crops and favor different kind of crops, and just because they're natural, just their behaviors, right?
Yeah, sure.
And I think this is something that could also be interesting. I mean, it's kind of lumped under this environment thing, more or less. Mm-hmm. But I guess we can be a little bit more. For instance, I mean, why do certain animals eat certain kind of plants? I mean, are there some DNA that can match up that encourage that?
Right. Yeah, there are. I know that. I mean, the plant disease ontology focuses on pestilence that right. affects crops, and some of that are ultimately they're all animals. They're eating. Okay, some of them aren't animals. Some of them are viral or, you know, but, you know, depending on how far you extend your definition of animals, some of those bacteria.
That's right.
Yes, there's some of that. And it would be interesting to extend that more towards insects and animals that consume the crops in the field and maybe get in the way of production, for example. Reduce biomass by, you know, locusts going out and eating the crop, or boll weevil in the case of cotton.
Okay. There probably is one, and if there's not, it kind of sounds like a pretty good idea for one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who would be the one to design that.
I would say
in our purview, or
now whoever whichever of our ontology collaborators is involved in breeding, agricultural breeding.
I was thinking maybe some of the European people that we work with now.
About yeah. that. That's true. But I'd bring it up when you're talking to Lal.
Okay.
Maybe next call with Chris.
Or, sure. Yeah. I mean, just a layman's idea. So, I have no idea what was available and what's not. So.
You should toss that out there. I know that is not in the canonical set of ontologies that we've listed for including in the project, but that doesn't mean that that Pankaj is not open to it, you know? Like, he may think that that's a great idea.
He in general is all about bringing in more stuff, trying to combine it all together. So.
Yeah,
I somehow had a feeling that he's always about crops. So, I mean, maybe I'm just wrong, but he seemed to be like the plant guy.
He's focused on plants, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right, well, I'll work on scheduling another call next week with Lal. See if we can get some ideas of where to head.
And I'll bring my student up. I mean, you have his email, right?
I'm sorry, which one was your student?
His last name, Q-U.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, how do you say it? Is it Botang?
It's like OO, so Botong, so it doesn't matter.
All right, I will try my best. Okay, yeah, I saw it typed out, and yeah, I know I got him added to the wiki and on the mailing list.
Oh, by the way, he goes by Bert, so you could call him Bert.
Oh, just call him Bert? Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I can say that.
Right. Good. We need to. So, is he the grad student that you would probably have working, you know, collectively on this?
Yeah. So he's the first student that I'm thinking. If needed, we can, because I know we budgeted one student. I could possibly bring in a second student just as needed.
Yeah.
But a Bert is the one that I think will be on this project for the duration.
Okay. In the next all hands meeting, or somewhere sooner than that, we should make sure that Law gets them on the personnel and the contact list and all that.
I believe that that's already happened. I'm pretty sure Law and I already got them on the wiki.
Awesome.
Excellent.
I'll double check, but I think we're...
I look forward to meeting them.
All right. Well, have a good morning.
All right. Yeah. Have a good morning. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.